Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Monday, August 23rd, 2010. I'm Sam Minter. I've got Yvonne Bo with me. Hello, Yvonne.
YOLO.
So we've got a number of things coming up for you. Let's see. I think the highlights are going to be we're going to be talking about the whole Obama is a Muslim thing coming back. We're going to be talking about WikiLeaks rape allegation weird thing that happened over the last week.
That was bizarre. Yeah, I know.
And Iraqi combat operations are over. That's worth talking about as well. Mm-hmm. And then depending on the time left, we'll talk about one or another of a couple different tech things going on.
Well, actually, I don't know. Why don't we start with the tech thing? I'm actually more interested in the tech thing than all the other stuff, to be honest with you.
Okay, let's start with the tech thing. So,
let's go with the tech.
So there are three tech things I had on my agenda potentially here.
So that was our teaser. You see, we're working on our teaser strategy.
Yes.
So now,
exactly, teasing. Exactly. So you guys have a reason to stay on and listen for all that fun stuff, even when what we start talking about now becomes incredibly boring.
That's right.
So the first of the three was just, and I don't think this is going to take very long, but a brief update on the Apple iOS 4. Being incredibly slow on the older iPhone 3Gs, and rumors of an update to fix it.
I'm going to mention something above over that I've been I've been annoyed with it. My wife actually just plugged in her iPhone 3G into the computer. She hadn't done that for a while, and she tells me, "Do I want this upgrade?" I'm like, "No!"
Now, wait, is it an actual 3G or 3GS?
She's got a 3G. She's got a 3G.
Okay,
I've got a 3GS. Okay, because I bought mine much later, but she's got a 3G. Now, I will tell you the issues I've had with the 3GS. Okay, and the main issue has been occasional crashing. Mm-hmm. Okay, which I have never, fucked up crashing. Like, I went to snap a picture the other day with a phone, and it just crashed. Okay?
Yeah.
And I went to do something else, similarly stupid the other day, and the phone crashed. Now, granted, it's only crashed, maybe two or three times in, since the software came out, so 2 months?
Well, I'll tell you where I am. I have a 3G as well, an older 3G, and I generally when I do updates, first of all, I don't rush out and do them the very first day. I'll wait until the thing automatically checks on its own and tells me there's an update, and that usually means I'm going half a week to a week later after a release because it checks once a week,
right?
And so I'm usually pretty conservative about this. So by the time I got that message, I'd heard plenty of people going, don't do it. It's going to slow things down. It's going to cause problems. And then even when I did do it, if any of you listeners may remember this, it wouldn't work for me. The update process itself to upgrade kept crashing. And so I didn't actually get upgraded until they released 3.01.
Okay.
Or is it...
401. Right.
And that's when I finally got upgraded. So this is a long time, a month after the initial release, I guess. And so by that time, I knew there were plenty of people out there complaining that this made their phone really bad. And so nobody else in the family has upgraded. But I'm how bad could it be?
How bad was it?
And I'm I always to be on the most updated, so I'll do it.
So do I, which is why I fucking did it.
So I did it. And the first week, I was what are all these people bitching about? This isn't that bad. I haven't seen any major issues, and I have a new feature. And, for the 3G also, the difference is you don't get all of the...
the features.
You only get a couple little things. You get folders, and
you get the threaded emails.
Yeah,
and that
a couple
stuff,
stupid
right.
things. So, anyway, after the first week goes by, I'm okay, I see what's going on here, because it's incredibly slow. The speed. The other day I was in trying to jot out a quick email on my phone, and I would type a word or two and then wait a couple minutes for the damn thing to catch up with my key presses. you know, to catch up with the word I just typed in.
Okay.
You know, or I would be trying to scroll up and down to, like, insert my little cursor so I could correct a typo or add a word or whatever. Same kind of crap. And then, you know, at the end of that, I was waiting for a meeting to start, and the people for the meeting came in, and I'm like, oh, okay. You know, so I put my phone in my pocket without finishing that email to hit send. And of course, by the time the meeting was over and I pulled the thing out of my pocket, it had crashed. It was gone. You know, I had to rewrite that email. Then their apps just...
Well, let me ask a question. That's 4.0.1. Did you get improvement with...
0.02 now, actually, I think.
Right.
No improvement with...
No improvement whatsoever.
4.02 was only a security update to address that issue with PDFs that came up a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
But it also, so in addition to this kind of slowness, which, by the way, is not 100% of the time. Every once in a while, it has sort of moments of clarity that it's okay. But also, I find, like, you know, applications crash a lot more than they did. And so first of all, they do for me too. This isn't just third party apps. I mean, the
Apple apps,
the Apple clock app crashes, you know, I'll open up the damn app to like set an alarm or a timer or something and it'll crash and I'll have to start it, you know, a couple times before it starts up successfully. And that one's rare. Okay, most of the time the clock works. But, like, there are a couple apps I used for reading Google Reader feeds that simply I'd have to start the app, like, 6, 7, 8 times before, if I got lucky, I'd get it to start, and then it would work fine. Jeez. But I'd have to start it multiple times first because each time I started, it would crash. The stupid iPod app crashed all the time, too. There are certain podcasts the iPad app won't play anymore that it used to have no problem with. I had been using the feature where if you had higher quality than a certain level on your computer for a song, it would automatically convert it into a lower bitrate for your phone. That wasn't working properly anymore, so I was missing a lot of songs, and I unclicked that, and it fixed that. But, yeah, anyway, this thing, if you've got an iPhone 3G, is a piece of crap. I'm normally a nice Apple fanboy, but this is a piece of shit, you know?
I can't go to that extreme because I've been my – I mean, my – the foibles I have seen in 3G, the 3GS with it, have been not that many. But still, I have noticed that application stability is not as good as it used to be. Okay, and the phone stability is not as good as it used to be. And that on rare occasion, I do get slowness. It's extremely rare, and it's not anywhere nearly as bad as yours.
Maybe the 3GS is okay, but, like, frankly... This is, they should have said, I'm sorry, iPhone 4 is not available
exactly.
For 3G.
For 3G, I agree with you. I actually totally agree with you. I think that was a mistake. I mean, right now, it's looking like it was just, you know, a big mistake to have offered that upgrade for that phone. So
now, there are rumors that they will be releasing a software update to fix this. They better. I mean, frankly, even if...
They better.
Even force it back to 3.02 or whatever it was, you know?
I will say this. Apple has been very good when they've screwed up some software release to quickly mop it up, okay?
Yeah.
Historically, they've been good at that. So I do feel fairly confident that whatever they're cooking up right now, they will cook it up relatively quickly and release
something. And the latest rumor is another one of these Steve Jobs emails where somebody sent an email to Steve Jobs basically complaining about how this had made his iPhone 3G useless and are they going to fix it? What's going on? You know, is this just a ploy to get people to buy iPhone 4s? And the reply from Steve was basically just, you know, stay tuned, update soon.
Okay, all right, you know. Okay, all right, so, well, that's... All right. Well, that's
good. Not word for word, but it's close, it's short. You know, one of his short little things that basically said, look, there'll be an update. But, you know, there have been beta updates out there for like 3.1, I keep saying 3.1, 4.1 and such, and from the people who've had those developer releases, they say it has not addressed the issue on the 3Gs yet, so presumably there's a separate track going to fix the 3Gs, and Hopefully it'll be soon. Because, you know, it is just... I mean, I went from, like, you know, loving this phone to cursing it every day. You know, so...
Okay. Well, I don't know. Isn't there an easy way for you to roll back?
No, there isn't. No, well, there
is. Actually, no, there is. I tried this once.
There is a way to roll back. Wait. It's not a...
And the rollback is not a backup. It's actually, you control-click on the frickin' download the software thing update, and it will actually show you the different packages of software that you can actually install on the phone.
Yeah, there is a way to roll back. It is not an officially sanctioned Apple solution. They don't recommend
actually,
you do it.
Actually, it is. I did it from instructions at Apple. Okay. I did this for a phone like a couple of years ago. Ooh. You can actually go in, and there is a way to control-click on the, you know, where you go to get the updates. You can actually control click on it. It will display to you a list of the different app software that you can install on the phone.
So anyway, I am not going to do that. So anyway. I am going to suffer through.
You're gonna suck it up
and wait until Apple releases an actual fix. You know that makes this better, as opposed to going back to one of the old software versions. Because of course, one of the things is because they didn't fork this and say sorry, the three. Geez, don't get the update. It means when there are security updates like the ones that came up, the older software doesn't have it, blah, blah, blah. Not like I'm going around clicking on PDFs on my phone anyway, but, you know, still. Anyway, let's take a break. We'll be right back with some other stuff. What's next? Rumors of an Apple iTV. There's a Facebook Places feature that just released. And then there's the WikiLeaks stuff, Iraq, and Obama being a Muslim. We'll be back in a minute.
All right.
You're in the Valley, AM 1620, and LiganairRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LiganairRadio.com, The Valley.
Okay, we're back. So let's jam through this tech stuff really quick. There's the rumors of a new iteration of an Apple TV that is apparently... this comes from Kevin Rose. I'm trying to pull it up right now. Da 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 da. Give me some pulling it up music, Yvonne.
Da 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 da. You didn't pull it up.
I pulled one up, but I didn't like it, so I'm going back to.
Doug Founder says Apple iTV launch in September will change everything. Okay,
yes, there you go.
From the Apple
so
inside.
I found the one I liked, which was the one straight from Kevin Rose's blog, which has the more detail rather than other people summarizing what he said. So Kevin Rose, who is on Dig, is one of the founders or whatever of Dig and a bunch of other things, Revision 3. The rumor, Apple will be releasing a revamped, renamed version of their Apple TV called iTV. Will run the Apple iOS, same as the iPhone, iPad, priced around $99. And the things that he's saying are going to be on there, iOS TV applications. A marketplace for applications, just like you have on the iPhone and iPad, but for your TV. You could have video sharing apps, streaming apps, recording apps, interactive news apps, of course, games. Because it's your TV, it likely would not be just a big ass iPhone app, because people aren't necessarily going to be touching their TVs all the time. Although who knows, if they release hardware, maybe it's a big ass touchscreen TV. A la carte app stations. Networks like ABC, NBC, etc., rather than just doing their shows, could also just sell an NBC app through which you access all NBC content in the ways that they want you to access them, monetizing them however they want with ads or in-app purchases for shows or however they feel like. You know, what Kevin Rose says is, of course, this will eventually destroy the television side of the cable and satellite industry, as your only requirement to access these on-demand stations will be an internet connection. Say goodbye to your monthly cable bill. I don't know.
About that.
.me picture and video sharing. So at the statement here is at $99, you know, all your parents, grandparents, friends will have one. So sharing pictures, video, etc. will happen at a push of a button. Imagine, you know, turning on your TV and getting a notification of new family videos. And then
that'd be cool.
And then the iPad turning into, you know, one big ass remote control for the iTV. So you can edit videos,
nice.
Control games, extend the interactive experience. Imagine watching Monday Night Football on the TV while viewing, exploring other camera angles on the iPad.
Well, I, like, for example, at this moment right now, I have, you know, I have an Apple TV, and one of the cool things is that from my iPhone, I can control it as a remote.
Yep.
So, I mean, like, for example, I can select music to come out wherever I want it in the house. I could, you know, select the videos, do all that stuff. It's actually pretty neat. You know, it works pretty good. So, yeah, I could see how this would work.
And the rumors are this thing's going to be out in September, so only a few weeks away. He makes a note to keep an eye out on Google TV, which has also been rumored, so that, you know, there might be a lot of stuff happening in this area soon. And,
Definitely Apple, I think that Apple definitely, since Google has already pre-announced that Google TV, they're definitely not going to be sitting over there with their hands up, hands crossed, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and look, you know, I think I don't know what Apple will do specifically. I don't know whether it's going to be a big ass success and quote unquote change everything or not. So far, this space has been sort of a, you know, what is, they've called it a hobby. They've called it a hobby. And the question is whether they start taking it seriously. I mean, certainly they have, you know, through the iPhone and the iPad, shown their ability to, you know, jump into a new market and, you know, turn it on its head. Do I see that possibility here? Sure, that possibility exists. What they've done with the Apple TV so far ain't it. But I think overall the notion that we're going to move to a much more on-demand marketplace, however that on-demand ends up working, it is certainly clear. And video and internet distribution of the video content and such like that. I could see already, when I hooked up my new AV setup a couple weeks ago, one of the items we got was a WDTV box, which lets you stream stuff off your own home network. So any content that you have just on your computers, you can stream through there. It also, like most of these boxes, has built-in Netflix and stuff like that. You know, so you just you navigate to the Netflix, you pick what you want to see and you want to go. I know from my personal notion of this kind of content, I tell you, I feel a lot happier with the, you know, pay my $20 a month to Netflix or whatever it is and then get all you can eat rather than a pay-as-you-go model for video. Like, I don't mind buying...
I agree with you.
You know, I don't...
I'm with you on that.
I don't mind buying songs. Like, I buy music at the 99-cent price point for a song or whatever because, you know, I know any song I'm going to buy, I'm going to listen to a lot. I'd say it is the vast minority. There are very few things in the video genre that I'm actually going to watch more than once. You know,
that's true. Songs we listen to a lot more than over and over than we'll ever see a video thing.
Right. And as my phone's ringing. Okay.
Is it crashing?
No. Nothing important. Whereas the video content, you know, I know I feel like if I go in and buy video content, whether it be physical DVDs or whether it be digital online media, I feel like you got to be kidding me, right? Because I'll get like the $15 price tag or whatever, and I'm like, this is something I'm going to watch once for a couple hours, and then I'm never going to look at again. Yeah. You know,
I agree.
So, and yes, I know you can get them a lot cheaper for the quote-unquote rentals, but you and I have talked on the show before about the way that video rentals are implemented online right now is obnoxious.
It's totally obnoxious.
It's like you have X amount of time to watch it after you start the download, and... You know, and then they cut you off, and then it's annoying as hell. You know, so I'm not doing that either. But I'd really like Netflix's model, which is, you know, I pay a flat fee once a month, and I can watch whatever the hell I want out of their streaming library, however much I want it. Cool.
No. I agree. I'm with you. I like that. So.
You know, so I'm much more comfortable with that model. But if Apple can make a model work. Yeah, I could certainly see this being attractive. Like, if they have, you know, you use your iPad as a controller, or they have a cheaper controller available that just goes with this thing, and you can download games. I mean, you know, you can download games. Boom, you've replaced game consoles as well.
I agree.
You know,
I agree.
And you can download your special CNN app to go with CNN. That'll have CNN in the corner, but access to all their web content too. And you know, or you know, you don't get some channel package through your cable company. No problem. You just go buy it off your ITV. I could see this being very compelling. A part of it, you know, really depends on. You know, how the pricing model ends up being, what kinds of content is available at what prices. Because, again, like, you know, the $99 for a cool box that does a bunch of stuff, I mean, it's going to be hard not to buy this thing. But at the same time, I'm just not going into a world where I go and pay several dollars per episode of my favorite TV show.
No, I agree. I mean that is really an insane model. I mean, we're not used to that kind of pricing, and I just don't think. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that will work. I mean, it's being done right now, and yeah, some people buy some stuff and whatever, sure. But I've bought some shows and paid for some of it. But the reason that sometimes I bought it is because maybe I missed the show, but I don't really like having to do that. To be honest with you, I mean, I would prefer an all you can eat model.
Yeah, and of course, just like with music, you have to realize here that regardless of, you know, what the legalities of the situation might be, any system like this is competing with free. And you have to build something that is nicer to use and you feel better about at the end, including you feel like you didn't get screwed,
right,
than doing it for free. Like,
right.
You know, and I've said this before on here, you know, I have not, you know, pulled music down through the quote unquote, the free sources since iTunes launched. Since there was a quick, convenient, easy way to get my music for, you know, my 99-cent price range or whatever, it was completely worth it to me to pay that dollar to avoid the pain in the ass of dealing with the other crap.
However, I agree.
That's not yet true for video for me. You know, if I can't find something quickly, easily, cheaply at the price point that I feel reasonable, at the time frames I feel reasonable, and, you know, in the quality I expect, I'm still going to look other places, you know, because, you know, some the streaming sites sometimes suck. You know, they add commercials. Who knows what's there? And like I said, buying the individual episodes online, they cost way too much, you know. And I know that's what they're available for, and blah blah blah, and you know, and of course I'm speaking hypothetically. I have never ever in my entire life gotten any piece of content through other than legitimate channels. I'll just say that here. But you know, they have to realize they're competing against free, and they have to make the experience that much more compelling. And they succeeded in music. They can succeed in video, too. They just have to do it right. Anyway.
No. I agree.
Okay, let's take...
Let's take a break.
Well, let's take a break, and we'll be back. Let's skip Facebook places and move on to some of the other interesting stuff. We'll talk about WikiLeaks, Iraq, and Ivan... Oh, yeah. No, sorry, not Ivan. Ivan not being a Muslim either, I guess, but...
I'm not. You know. Last time I checked. But I can double check if you'd like during the break.
I've heard a rumor, Yvonne. Anyway,
okay, I'll double check during the break. I'll Google it. Okay.
We'll be back after this.
This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by Notel Motel.
Bigfoot and the Placebo Effect, by Matthew Olsman. Fog in the trees, fog on the ground, the hunters can't see a thing. One growl in the bush and a shot goes off, and bang, Bigfoot is dead. It's an accident, of course, but what are the hunters supposed to do? They tie a rope around its ankle and haul it back to camp where the beast is gutted, the way they'd gut any other large game, say an elk or a bear. There's product to sell, people are hungry and markets are waiting. They label the meat Sasquatch steaks, and it flies from coolers until soon everyone wants more. There is no more, but the calls won't stop. Our customers weep when they eat this. My husband no longer looks angry when he touches me. My kids have stopped fighting and their grades are on the rise. So the hunters return to see what they can find. Not much, really. A couple of squirrels, the heel of a boot, the junk ground up like beef. Miracle food. Everyone's skin feels smoother, stomach pains flutter away. Yes, the forest is dark, but an ancient shadow stalks its interior. Yes, the heavens are vast. Maybe something's up there, too.
For more like this, go to notelmotel.org, with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday.
Okay, we're back. So a bizarre little thing happened over the last few days. We've talked over the last few weeks about this WikiLeaks thing, this website. How do you say his name? Julian Assange?
Well, I don't know how to say
it. Anyway, one of the co-founders of WikiLeaks, yeah, they've been publishing classified documentation of the war in Afghanistan. And they have said that they will imminently, sometime in the next couple weeks, be releasing another big batch of these documents. And, you know, the Pentagon has been making a lot of noises about this, about how damaging it is, how bad this is, and how they, intend to potentially go after WikiLeaks and its founder for releasing things along this way. There have been, I've seen articles about whether or not, given current law, he could be charged with espionage in the United States. And the consensus seems to be, his lawyers seem to say no, he can't because of where he's located and things like that. But other people I've read talking about this have said basically, look, if the U.S. government could certainly try to prosecute him under espionage statutes if they got custody of him, if they were able to capture him. And so part of it's just the political question about, you know, if he's hanging out in Sweden, you know, is there a foreign relations backlash, you know, if a special op team goes in and catches him in Sweden, you know, Sweden being, of course, a friendly country to the United States.
You think we'd go that far? I mean, seriously?
You know, I'm I would like to think no. I would like to think that there would be a recognition that, you know, yes, these were classified documents. Yes, they were released improperly. But they're out there. And this is not somebody giving information directly to an enemy. This is somebody putting information into a public domain, which does indeed give it to the enemy. But hey, you got a flat playing field now. Everybody knows. You know, I don't know. But I know my personal thoughts on classification are way different than the government. You know, I basically think that most things should be wide out there and open, and, you know, making things secret should be a very, very special thing that's done, you know, rarely, not as part of routine operations. But, you know, whatever. Here's the thing that happened this weekend, which was that this Julian guy, who was in Sweden to be talking about hosting arrangements for his site, and to get take advantage of Sweden has some very strong laws protecting whistleblowers, and so he was basically getting registered in Sweden to be able to take advantage of those whistleblower protection laws.
Protections.
Also,
okay, makes sense.
Also, an interesting development is that the Pirate Party in Sweden has now offered to host his site, along with the Pirate Bay, by the way. And because they are an official political party with representation in Sweden's parliament, assuming they continue to get that representation in future elections, they've only got one or two seats, they get even more special protections because they are a political party. You know, in terms of what can or cannot be done to them. Interesting stuff he was doing there. But you know, while that was going on, all of a sudden, I get a breaking news alert on my, you know, pager or my cell phone or whatever, saying, you know, he's been charged with rape.
On your pager? Pager? You have a pager still? Wow.
Still do. But anyway.
Wait. You do have a pager? Seriously?
I actually have an old-fashioned one-way pager that I had for work. Yes.
You still have it for work?
Well, actually, I probably don't need it anymore as of a week or so ago.
But wait. But your work actually issued you a pager. Wow, I thought nobody had one of those anymore. Okay.
Yes, they did, and they still do have a couple of advantages over cell phones. To be honest,
I know they do. I mean, to a certain extent, yes. But I just hadn't seen anybody with one of those in a long time, other than in the movie The Hangover. But you know, anyway.
Yes. All right. Anyway. But I got my initial thought is, oh, you gotta be kidding. This jackass is doing some interesting and potentially important work, you know, that I generally approve of what WikiLeaks is doing and the outlet they're providing to people.
But I take it that committing rape is not under your approved conduct.
And I'm like, you gotta be kidding.
Damn.
This jackass really putting at risk all the other important stuff he's doing because of he's going out raping people? Really? You know?
I thought there was something really weird about the whole thing. I was like, come on, what the hell?
And then literally, like 6 hours later, I get another breaking news alert essentially saying, oh, never mind. You know, he's been cleared of all charges. The prosecutor
says nothing. How could he be accused and cleared in 6 hours? I don't understand this.
So I bet, you know, the only way that I can see that time frame aligning is basically if someone went to the police and said, you know, he raped me, and they went out and took that at a sort of at face value and went out and searched for him. And I guess, you know, if someone goes out and calls the police and says Joe Bob raped me, it's probably a legitimate function for the police to immediately go try to find Joe Bob. But you know, then, you know, when they started looking at, I guess, the details of the accusation, none of it made sense. They never actually took him into custody. They didn't find him in that 6 hour time period, I guess. But when they looked into it, they're like, oh yeah, this is obviously not real. Never mind. And so a lot of people are sort of calling shenanigans, saying, come on. Is this some kind of dirty tricks operation where someone, you know,
it's gotta be. I mean, it's gotta be. I don't see what the hell else it could be.
I mean, this is sort of an Occam's razor kind of thing where, you know, normally I'm not like first to jump on the bandwagon of like, oh, it's a conspiracy. But this just looks so odd. I mean, and really, like, you look at it and this is the kind of thing that we were talking about a couple weeks ago as well. But yeah, this is the kind of thing where somebody gets accused of something and then they get cleared of it. But in the meantime, everybody's like, oh, yeah, that's that rapist. And so if you want to, like, you know, stomp on somebody's reputation, you know, there's not too many ways quicker than falsely accusing them of a crime that takes a while for them to be cleared. Now, 6 hours is pretty damn short. 6 hours and people are like looking at like something weird's going on there. I'm sure they, you know, if this was some sort of dirty tricks operation, I'm sure they would have been a lot happier if before they cleared him, they'd taken him into custody and they'd spent a couple months, you know, investigating or something. You know, but a couple hours, I mean, we're talking, you know, I believe there was a delay before I got that first alert. So I think it was more than 6 hours, actually, but it was certainly less than a day, you know. I just want to say, I hope that this is not our government doing this. You know, as part of their, you know, PSYOP.
I hope not. Because
on so many levels. Because one, I don't want them doing it in the first place. And two, if they are going to do it, can you be a little bit more competent? You know, but... And goodness knows, this guy has lots of enemies. Not just, like, the U.S. government. And so...
I'm sure he's got to... Yeah.
You know, so... But still, come on. Really? Now, on the other hand, I guess allow the possibility. Perhaps this just was, you know, some random homeless woman making an accusation in Sweden or something. And then they realized it was full of shit, and I don't know. But it was just, regardless, it was weird. It was weird. And
I'm with you on that.
I don't know. I say leave the man alone, and, you know, what gets released gets released. Apparently, WikiLeaks has done another interesting thing, though. I just saw a report of that this morning, which is for the next batch of documents that are due to come out. They have apparently sent over to the Pentagon, the credentials they need to access that stuff in advance and take a look at it. And this is interesting in a couple ways. This one, you know, it's sort of saying, okay, look, here's what we got. Here's what we're going to release. If you need to prepare in any way for this, go for it. Because, like, one of the criticisms before was the open release was putting people's lives in danger. If you, theoretically at least, if you give the Pentagon access to this stuff in advance by a few weeks, then they can go over this stuff, and if indeed they look at this and say, you know, this is putting Source X at risk, they can pull Source X the hell out of there. You know, in advance. So, okay. You know, I think it's a potentially legitimate thing to do, and it sounds like they're trying to do the right thing here. They are apparently also responding to the criticism they got last time for not sort of blacking out enough information that put people at risk. And so they're taking more time this time to go through it all page by page before releasing it. I think that's all well and good. However, having said all that, I think there's a need for, you know, the complete opposite approach. Like WikiLeaks here, when I first heard about WikiLeaks way back when, I thought it was just like, you know, a document dump where anybody could put anything. That's not what it is. They do go through an editorial process where somebody looks at this stuff, sort of tries to determine if it's legit or not, and then puts it out there. I think there's a need for sort of a distributed anonymous document dump that is out there, is owned and run by no particular person or technology, you know. You know, they've got botnets out there that can survive independently on people's computer. You could use the same kind of technology to distribute stuff over, you know, thousands or millions of different computers in a distributed way, and just have a completely anonymous way for anybody to upload anything to it, and in an untraceable way. And sure, you'd get a lot of crap up there. Okay, you'd get a lot of porn. Okay. you'd get a lot of copyrighted material. Yeah, okay, fine. You can tell I'm not necessarily objecting to these elements of things. But you'd also get interesting things. You'd get people planning illegal activities, which, okay, on the one hand, you're like, you're helping the thieves or whatever. On the other hand, nothing stopping the cops from looking at it too. And same thing for leaks of this sort. If somebody is an insider at some company or government and feels like their company or government is doing something wrong, you know, dump the docs up and boom, there you go. And now, even if there's an anonymous upload thing here, you always can still potentially track people down based on the fact that only a certain limited number of people were supposed to have that information in the first place. But I think having something like that out there, you know, would serve a purpose and be very interesting. And, you know, I tell you, that's the kind of thing where if WikiLeaks does end up getting shut down in one way or another, something like that's going to develop. Because that's frankly what's happening on the, you know, in the battle against copyrighted material being available for free on the internet. is every time they shut one down, more pop up, and even more so, the technology gets advanced in a way that makes it harder to trace and track down in the future. So,
listen, I think that the one thing, if you look at it philosophically, it's not a thing about whether a site exists or not. I think that the, you know, look, there's always been leakers, and there's always been leaks. You know, whether I make it into the newspaper or something or whatever. You know, I think that the problem that you've got right now is that when a leak makes it onto a newspaper, usually most newspapers will try to protect the confidentiality of their sources. And a lot of newspapers receive certain levels of defense for being able to do that up to a certain extent. It's been the case that reporters have been arrested and jailed because they have not revealed their sources. But I think this is a new realm where we're in right now, where the defenses or the recognition of this work is just not there yet.
Well, you know, here's the thing, and this ties in. We didn't end up talking about Facebook places, but it ties into the copyright debate. It ties into the privacy debate. Basically, the bottom line is technology has made it so incredibly easy to move information around, or to generate information, for that matter. You know, basically, once it exists digitally at all, you know, you should make the basic assumption that it's available to everybody in the world who wants it. You know, and I think that that's, you know, it's the case for copyrighted material. It's the case for secret or confidential material. It's the case for personal information that you might rather only you and your family had. You know, all of this stuff is such that it's incredibly mobile, and you're going to see the trends going more and more and more in the future to this kind of information, you know, leaking out from the places it has traditionally lived. And so, you know, you already see in the case of Facebook and stuff, what used to be, you know, the private photo album that lived in, you know, an album in your living room and you brought out and showed to relatives every once in a while. Hey, guess what? The whole world can see it. You know, unless you're very careful about your privacy settings, and
which I am. So therefore, actually, the whole world can't see it. But you know,
yes. Well, most people are not. And
it's kind of funny. I mean, you try. I mean, if you are, I mean, I guess if you don't have my email address, I've got it down so locked down, you can't find me on Facebook unless you're a friend. I mean, I guess at least you see me posting something related to a friend of mine. Or, I mean, you actually have my email address. You do a person search on Facebook, and I do not come up.
Yeah, but that shit leaks, and, you know, because, you know, other people can share. And in your case, you know, your email address has been on the internet for years because of me. And so if someone wanted to
right.
find it,
no,
they
no,
could
you
find
can
it,
find
it. You know?
No, you can find it, but no, I agree that you can find it, but most people are not that smart.
No, no, right. No, most people won't bother. But the point is, if, you know, things are out there, things are going to be more and more out there, you know, the base notion of what people consider as private is growing because of these pushes.
Oh, but remember one thing. That only gives you the right to request connecting to me. It doesn't even let you see any of it.
No, no, I know. But look, but what I'm saying is societal norms for this stuff are changing. You may lock your stuff down, but lots of people don't, and lots more and more people don't. And
they're ready.
And increasingly over time, you'll see people go like, they're all locked down. What's wrong with them? Are they paranoid?
Well, I gotta tell you something. My wife has left Facebook, decided not to use it anymore a month ago. She deactivated her account.
Yeah.
Completely. She realized after I pointed out one day that she posted something dumb, okay, which she shouldn't have posted to let the whole world know, okay, on it. Uh-huh. Freaked out, decided she's not using it anymore.
Yeah.
And that's it. And she's gone cold turkey completely. Hasn't complained or I haven't seen her try to like or even say she's missed it. And I got to tell you that I know multiple people right now
I know. But look, and I agree. And Facebook has been pushing hard and fast. And they're probably going to lose some people off it. And they'll probably go too far at some point. But it's a general trend, and it may be slow, and there may be ups and downs, but there is a general trend towards more openness and more information sharing. And like I said, let's even put aside the personal side of it. The bottom line for other sources of information, whether it be confidential information for companies or governments, or whether it be, you know, copyrighted information that the copyright holders want to lock down and only allow access to in specific ways, in both those cases, technology makes it incredibly easy, and it only gets easier over time, to take that information and either, you know, send it to specific people or just make it available to the whole world. Yeah, and it's incredibly easy now, and it's getting easier and easier and easier. And I think companies and governments will, over time, have to get used to the idea that it's harder and harder and harder to keep a secret. And, you know, basically start assuming that most things will not remain secret. And, you know, there may be some things that are incredibly important that they figure out a way to lock down. They keep it off of, you know, maybe they do it the old-fashioned way and handwrite things and pass them back and forth physically. But, you know, once things are, you know, in electronic form in one way, shape, or another, there are ways to get them out. And you know, obviously the super, super classified networks also are not even the super, super classified networks. But, you know, there's also isolation where they keep those separated from the open internet. But, you know, bottom line is, you know, once it's in a digital form, it's easier to move around than it was in a physical form. And it's just going to get easier and easier over time. And I think what you're going to have to see is you're going to see governments and corporations and everything else adapting to that kind of universe where more things are known more widely than before, and where you just can't count on secrecy as the way of making sure that you have an advantage. You know, it's long been one of the things that people use in order to gain an advantage over someone else is to have secret knowledge that the other side doesn't have. That's going to be less effective over time, and people are going to have to look at different ways to have an advantage. And there are plenty of other ways, but that one's going to be, you know, less important. Anyway, we've gone way over. Let's stop on this, and we'll come back and talk briefly about Iraq and Obama being a Muslim. We'll be right back.
The first way to health, said the CDC to me, wash hands to be safe and healthy. The second way to health, said the CDC to me, bundle up for warmth and wash hands to be safe and healthy. The third way to health, said the CDC to me, manage stress, bundle up for warmth and wash hands to be safe and healthy. The fourth way to health, said the CDC to me, don't drink and drive, manage stress, bundle up for warmth and wash hands to be safe and healthy. The fifth way to health, said the CDC to me, be smoke-free. Don't drink and drive, manage stress, bundle up for warmth and wash hands to be safe and healthy. The sixth way to health, said the CDC to me, fasten belts while driving, be smoke-free. Don't drink and drive, manage stress, bundle up for warmth and wash hands to be safe and healthy. The seventh way to health, said the CDC to me, get exams and screenings, fasten belts while driving, be smoke-free. Don't drink and drive, manage stress, bundle up for warmth and wash hands to be safe and healthy. The eighth way to health, said the CDC to me, get your vaccinations, get exams and screenings, fasten belts while driving, be smoke-free. Don't drink and drive, manage stress, bundle up for warmth and wash hands to be safe and healthy. The ninth way to health, said the CDC to me, monitor the children, get your vaccinations, get exams and screenings, fasten belts while driving, be smoke-free. Don't drink and drive, manage stress, bundle up for warmth and wash hands to be safe and healthy. The tenth way to health, said the CDC to me, practice fire safety, monitor the children, get your vaccinations, get exams and screenings, fasten belts while driving, be smoke-free. Don't drink and drive, manage stress, bundle up for warmth and wash hands to be safe and healthy. Prepare dinner safely, practice fire safety, monitor the children, get your vaccinations, get exams and screenings, fasten belts while driving. Be smoke-free. Don't drink and drive, manage stress, bundle up for warmth, and wash hands to be safe and healthy. The 12th way to health, said the CDC to me. Eat well and get moving, prepare dinner safely, practice fire safety, monitor the children, get your vaccinations, get exams and screenings, fasten belts while driving. Be smoke-free. Don't drink and drive, manage stress, bundle up for warmth, and wash hands to be safe and healthy.
For the most accurate health information, visit www.cdc.gov or call 1-800-CDC-INFO 24/7.
And here we are.
Can we actually talk briefly about anything? I don't know if we can.
I don't know. We're a bunch of loudmouths. I mean, like that last segment, you know, in theory, we're still trying to do 4 10-minute segments for the show. So far today, we've done a 12-minute segment, uh-huh. Another 12-minute segment, and a 19-minute segment.
Yeah, we're a bunch of blithering idiots. Okay, anyway, all right.
And we've now talked a full minute on this.
Yes, of course. Anyway, so where are we heading now?
Iraq and Obama. What do you want to talk about first?
I don't know. Let's talk about Iraq first.
Yeah, I guess Iraq is kind of important. We should talk about it first. Basically what's happened so far is, you know, President Bush, if anyone remembers him in the last days of his administration, I believe it was actually between the election and, Obama taking over, you know, signed an agreement with the Iraqi government that specified a timetable for when American troops would, draw down. And, And so far we've been keeping to it, amazingly enough.
Yep.
And so all of the combat troops left this week, and there's still some 50,000 non-combat troops in Iraq, and they are scheduled to leave within another year from now, and we're keeping that timetable so far. Now, what has been pointed out, of course, is a lot of the political gains that had been hoped for in Iraq with, you know, reconciliation from the parties and being able to come to agreements on various things and move forward, for the most part, haven't really been happening. So the big question here is going to be, if we stick to our current plans, you know, does Iraq go to hell once we're gone?
I don't really think so. I mean, not any further worse than what it is right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see it. I really don't.
Well, you know, I'll add, and maybe this isn't the right answer, but even if it does, do we care?
We give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I mean, I said that, and I feel tension myself of, I mean, I should.
Because we kind of fucked the place up.
Exactly. Okay.
You know, and we've been fucking the place up for decades.
Right. I mean, you know. Oh, gosh. This is so just fucked up. I don't know. Honestly, it's.
In a sense,
I'm relieved. And in a sense, I don't want to put it in my head, but in a sense, it's also, you know what? We fucked up the whole fucking place in the first place. My God.
Yeah. Well, so. But on the other hand, you know. They don't really want us to stay.
No, they don't. And I don't think there's much that we could do in order to fix it.
If the Iraqis were going, you know, you fucked this place up, you better stay until you fix it.
But they are not really, you know, they're like, they really want us out, and it's probably a good thing that we're leaving. So.
Yeah, and you know, frankly, the same thing's going to be the case in Afghanistan, and, you know, the drawdown is supposed to start soon, and I think it'll be a very interesting thing to watch whether... You know, how serious Obama is. I mean, when he allowed the latest surge in Afghanistan, he basically said, okay, here's your chance. You've said that you need this many troops to clean the place up and get things going in the right direction. You got a year, mm-hmm. You know, or it was 18 months or whatever it was. And then if it hasn't worked, we're out. We're getting out. And we'll see if he can stick with that, you know, because in both Iraq and Afghanistan. You're going to have a lot of people saying, you know, he's abandoning them. We've been in there. We've been fighting the good fight. If we get out, things are going to get really bad and blah, 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 blah. And it's going to be a threat to the United States and it will all be Obama's fault. And, you know, we'll see if he sticks to it and see, you know, so far with Iraq, we're sticking to it. Now, you know, and again, I point out that in Iraq, unlike Afghanistan, this is Bush's plan still. Obama is implementing the agreement that Bush put together. But we're sticking to it. We're not saying, oh, you know, never mind. The situation's still messed up. We have to stay. We're saying, you know, hey, we're getting out. We're getting out in an orderly fashion. The Iraqis have had time to prepare. You know, they'll do what they want to do. And I'm assuming that there will, of course, still be American involvement in one way or another. Not included in, you know, all of these drawdown plans, for instance, are a bunch of contractors and civilians and things like that that are also in the country doing various things. But still, it's interesting to see that you haven't heard much about Iraq, you know, in the last year and a half.
That's true.
You know, and, you know, yes, people have continued to die there, but, you know, for the most part, it's just like, it's faded from the attention of, you know, everyone who's not there. And, you know, and it's just interesting to see that we're actually holding to this timetable, and I guess we'll see what happens. But I look at it as a positive move because I think the whole endeavor there was a huge waste of time and effort. And frankly, you know, would we be any... If you compare the situation where we are now to what would have been the situation if we'd never gone in there at all, I'm not sure you can say it's better now. Sure, we got rid of Saddam, but
have we made those people's livelihoods better? The answer really is fuck no. And they will tell you themselves that their lives are a lot worse now than they used to be under a brutal dictator. So
not to mention all the huge numbers of Iraqis that died.
Died both
military and civilian. You know.
Yes. So, no, we really did not make these people's lives better, and we did not make the country safer, and we blew $1 trillion. Woohoo!
There you go. Okay, so let's move on and really quickly talk about the Obama another poll came out that said 20% of Americans believe Obama is a Muslim, which is actually...
Are these people just fucking with the people doing the survey?
Which is actually higher than the percentage was before he became president.
I mean, are these people just fucking with the guys doing the survey?
You know, I'm sure some are, but, you know, frankly, I've seen enough out there to believe a lot of people probably do believe this. You know, and I saw one anecdotal thing where somebody was interviewed and asked why did they believe, you know, Obama was a Muslim, and the answer was something like, well, because he acts Muslim. Yeah.
Okay, so what, it's the wardrobe? Oh yeah, of course. Well, of course you saw him praying, you know, doing the what the hell prayer that they gotta do every day, fucking thing, whatever the hell it is. I don't know what the hell they do, but you know that I know what even any Christians do anyway, but what the fuck? So, I don't know. What is he doing?
Yeah, so, and you know, supporting the Ground Zero Mosque and blah, blah, blah. Who knows what it is? But
I guess Michael Bloomberg must be a Muslim as well.
I think he is. Oh, by the way, he's an interesting character. We should talk about him again soon, because I think he might be thinking about presidency and running as an independent.
Interesting.
Here's the thing. Look, there are a bunch of idiots out there.
Here's the other thing. Some publication went and says, this shows how the liberals are elitist because they called that a whole bunch of Americans are are idiots. And I'm like, you know what? The fact that we are calling out that the large percentage of Americans that are idiots does not make us elitist. It is being realist. So we have a bunch of idiots living in this country.
And of course, I still like, and a Muslim question specifically, Colin Powell nailed the answer to this the best during the campaign, where he said Obama is not a Muslim, but the real question everybody should be asking is, so what if he was?
Right.
You know, why would that matter?
So what if he was? Why would that matter? Yeah.
You know? And that's the right answer here. But it, on the lines of everybody being stupid, you know, Gallup released a poll a little while ago, and Matt Iglesias on his blog reposted it a few days ago. The title of the post, for anyone who wants to look at it, it was Things People Believe, posted on August 20th. But here's the relevant comparison. Okay, fine. 20% of Americans think Obama is a Muslim. Okay. 41% of Americans believe in ESP. 37% believe that houses can be haunted. 32% believe that ghosts and spirits of dead people come back in certain places. 31% believe in telepathy and communication between minds. 26% in clairvoyance and the power of the mind to know the past and predict the future. 25% believe in astrology, that the position of the stars and planets can affect people's lives. 21% believe that people can communicate mentally with someone who has died.
Okay.
21% believe in witches. 20% in reincarnation. And another 9% that a spirit being can temporarily assume control of someone's body in channeling. So, you know, look.
You've just proven my point. There's a larger percentage of idiots out there.
Yeah, I mean, look. There's a certain percentage of the population out there that simply does not think critically about the world around them. They don't really care about facts.
That is being so kind.
They don't care about quote-unquote facts. They don't care about rationally looking at things. They will take whatever their neighbor or their whoever has said, and they'll believe it. And they'll hear...
As I mentioned a while ago, there's a lot of these groups of people that will just not let the facts interfere with their opinions. It's very simple. I meet them all every day. They drive me crazy.
And this is another reason why, in the political campaign cycles, the negative advertising stuff works so well in so many areas. And this is a common strategy in lots of political circles where you just come out and say that your opponent believes or thinks something that is a lot of people think negatively about it. And it doesn't matter whether they actually do or not. You know, they come back and later, you know, come back and say, well, that's not true because of reason A, B, C, D, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? You know, 90% of the people out there never hear that rebuttal. And of the people that they do, like a significant percentage hear blah, 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 blah. And, you know, a huge chunk of people all of a sudden believe whatever this falsehood is about the person, whether it be Obama being a Muslim or whether it be, whatever the Swift voters were saying about John Kerry or any number of dozens of other situations you can see out there. Ronald Reagan eats babies. I don't know. it's a standard thing that people take advantage of the fact that most people don't bother checking what they hear, and that once they hear something, even if they hear a rebuttal to it later, what sticks in their head is the first thing they heard, or the loudest thing they heard. It has nothing to do with what is actually correct, what the facts are. It's what did they hear first? What do they hear loudest? What do they hear most often? And so, the old saying goes, if you repeat a lie enough times, it becomes the truth. And that's what all this kind of stuff is based on.
Now that, what you just said is the absolute truth. When you get enough people, it is one of the problems which is like why it drives me crazy when I go to public places and some people put like Fox News as like a news channel. And I'm just like, oh my God. It's like, people put this up like on a TV, like for open viewing, like it's like facts are being spewed out there. But if you get a group of people just repeating bullshit over and over, people fucking believe it, because you know why? Because people are idiots. Anyway.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. All right. On that positive note.
As we wrap up this 14-minute segment. anyway, that wonderful, positive, exciting note. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Curmudgeon's Corner this week. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com with any questions, comments, thoughts. I'll relay to Yvonne, and we'll talk about it on the show if appropriate. We haven't had any comments in a while, so come on, people. Give us some stuff.
I don't know. Tell us that you're listening. Tell us something. I don't know. Anything. Okay. All right.
Indeed. Of course, tell your friends to listen too. And tune in next week. Have a good week, everybody. And we'll talk to you again next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
See you, Yvonne.
Bye.